That is absolutely true. And we need him every day of our lives and confess our need to him, I hope, every day. I know there are times that we feel that we need him more than others, but we need him constantly. But I know when I'm standing up here about ready to preach, that's when I need him one of the strongest times. And I have no doubt that Brother Jerry is feeling his weaknesses right now. And so I have no doubt that he is asking you for your prayers that he might receive that strength from Jesus Christ, that he might deliver that message that Jesus Christ has placed on his heart. So I want you to pray for him at this time and bear in mind that what you are about to receive from our brother is from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, our brother Jerry.
That's what most of them here are afraid of, that I will keep on talking. As we sang that song, it really got to me thinking that what I want to talk about today is basically that message. I need Jesus. We all need Jesus. Now, when the times are good, in the past, or even in the future when times are bad, we all need to have the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ with us. I've needed a lot this week. This has been one of those weeks when I'm sure most of us have had them when we'd rather have made it about a 3-day week instead of 7. But it wasn't. I chose for my message this morning one that I dearly love, and it helps me a lot when I read it. And it's from the 8th chapter of Romans. And I hope you'll bear with me because I prepared for this in several segments because of several different things that were going on, but I thought about that song, I thought, boy, do I need him right now. Stronger than I ever have in my life. I'd like to start out by reading the first 4 verses of this passage. It says, there is now no condemnation to those which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit, of life in Christ Jesus, has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son, in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And this is, I think, speaking to two basic segments of society, of the public, those who walk after the flesh, those who walk after the Spirit. God has a unique purpose in both segments of those people. Those that walk after the flesh need His guidance and His direction. They need His strength that He can provide, that He does provide. For the, as the Scripture tells us, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Those that walk after the flesh don't know the blessings that are available to them. Or if they've heard, they haven't heeded it. Those of us who try to walk outside that avenue of life know of the blessings that have been made available to us in individual cases, made available to this church in the many years it has existed and the successes that it has seen. I see a great success this morning in as many people that are here to listen to this message. I'm eager to bring it, and I hope you're eager to hear it. As we follow life's leading in this world today, we see constantly turmoil, trouble. The people that are, you can tell, definitely are not following the teachings of the Lord. Definitely need His guidance and direction. And then I think about, I was thinking yesterday, counting the days until my brother-in-law, Mike, gets back from the Philippines. And he takes of his life and takes it halfway across the world to take that message that we know from heart to those people who need to know what God holds for them. What a blessing He can provide for them in their walk of life as well as He does for others and us in our walk of life. He has an all-encompassing message for them that Jesus loves you and Jesus wants you to know Him and to let Him guide your life in wherever you might find yourself and in whatever you might find yourself doing. The one thing I'd like to point out in this, in the first verse, is that there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. I brought a message probably a year or so ago that I kind of thought back to when I was preparing this. God forgives us of our sins. We know that He does because He said He does. We've each experienced that forgiveness in our life. And the message that I brought out after having studied it brought out to me the great aspect of the forgiveness that God provides is that not only does He provide it, He forgives your sins, but He forgets them. He doesn't keep them written in a book to remind you later, well, now you really should have done this, or you really broke the code here. He doesn't do that. Once He has forgiven your sins, He's forgotten all about them. You may well commit those sins again, but you should go back to Him again and ask for the forgiveness and ask for the strength and guidance to keep you from going back and doing those things, of making you a stronger Christian as you walk the streets of this earth. Studying this brought to me a lot of reassurance in this day and age. I see the people acting like they're lost. I see them wandering around looking for answers in life. I'm constantly looking for answers to different aspects of life. And I know everybody in here is. But if we have His Spirit indwelling in our flesh, we will have those answers. They're ready for us. He has them and is ready to give them to us. In many cases, He has already given us those answers and is strengthening us each day of our life, helping us to walk that path that He would have us to walk. He doesn't force us to do this or to do that. He gives us the teachings by which we should strengthen our spirit, strengthen our actions, strengthen our thoughts. He gives us that teaching that this is the way, this is the path I want you to walk. And He knows we're going to stray once in a while. We're human. But it's these scriptures that tell us that He's given us that strength. He doesn't. There's no condemnation for those that ask for His forgiveness. Those that actually use consecration in their life that He provides will have no condemnation as long as they follow His teachings. We all make mistakes each day. I have made so many in the last 3 or 4 weeks that it's almost pathetic. But that's probably another subject for a later sermon. I'd like to go ahead and read on from verse 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after sin, I'm sorry, but they that after, I got too much paper. Let me start that over again. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And those of us that are spiritually minded, or at least try to follow, we know that there is a life and peace there that you see other people throughout the world don't have in their lives. There are elements of life that will hit you in the solar plexus every once in a while. But if you follow Him, He will give you the strength to stand those punches. He will give you the opportunity to tell others about what has happened in your life and what can happen in their lives if they give themselves over to Him. For to be carnally minded is death, spiritually minded is life and peace. Because a carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But they that are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus Christ from the dead dwells in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye live through the flesh, but through the Spirit, do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. probably the greatest promise that a person can ask for in their life. You know full well, by having been one of the followers of Christ, the blessings that can come of that, the strength that can come in those times when the world seems to be taking shot at you. As you wake up each morning and you listen to the news or read the newspaper or whatever, you see the things that are going on in life, it should give us each an indwelling strength of that Holy Spirit that at least refreshes us to the point that we know that even though all this is going on, there's still safety under the wing of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is still that strength that will keep you going through the difficult time that you encounter from time to time. All you need to do is draw on that strength. And it's not a difficult thing to do. You just ask Him to help you through the ordeals of life. And He'll be there to help you through those ordeals of life. God has basically adopted each of us into His family. He's adopted us. He's given us His name. He's given us everything He has. Been placed at our doorstep, so to speak. We have a problem in life. All we have to do is ask for His strength and guidance. Simply just say, Lord, I'm not able to do this. Give me the wisdom to find the way around this problem. And He will provide an answer for you. You may not like all the ramifications of it, but He will provide that avenue for you. There's an intimacy toward the Father that you can't find in this life. As I was leaving this morning, we have our little granddaughter. She's sleeping in the bed, and I look down at her and I said, looks so sweet and so perfect. And I thought to myself, if everybody could have that look on their face in the morning, how much better this life would be when they start out. Because she carries that intimacy and that love and that compassion that she has in her little life all through the day. And you see it in the smiles. You see it in her actions. Oh, but if we could see that in the actions and the faces of everybody we deal with each day, what a much better day that each one would be. We know there's a difference between the worldly Father and the Heavenly Father. The worldly Father many times goes the wrong path. The Heavenly Father provides the right path. There's an illumination through our Lord that transcends anything that the human spirit and human nature can think of. As you wake up in like a morning this morning, you know this has got to be made by the Lord. God made this day. It's beautiful. Even with a little bit of snow, it's still beautiful out there. And we know that He's going to provide a lot of those for us. As I watch the news, I see different parts of the world that are undergoing wars, tempests, and you don't see, even with the sun shining, all you see is the bad part, the blackness, the death, and especially when there's little children involved. You think, God, please give these people some rest. All they need is a little peace of mind. Even those little children need to wake up each morning with a smile on their face rather than having to run from bullets and bombs and shells. We know it's there, available to them. But there are many changes that are going to have to be made. And through the teachings of our missionaries, through the teachings of those who find themselves living or traveling through those countries, we know that they are seeing that, hey, there is something else besides our life. There's another life there. And I could possibly have that someday. We have an inheritance with the Son. We're joint heirs with Christ. I have never adopted a child. But I'm sure that there's a special feeling there that you have. That nor the normal, not adopted ones might not. I guess I'd say they would be used to it, but when you adopt one, they inherit all that grace. All that greatness is the same as the rest and are just the same as the others. God has adopted us. He has given us a new life. He has given us new expectations to look towards. Expectations that we have can only know about and will have learned about when we study His Word. We don't find them anyplace else. Many times we take these things for granted. When we ask the Lord for that saving knowledge, we expect, because He's promised, we expect a full measure of the love, of the nurturing, of the many times loss of words for here. Chastening. Because there are times even that when we're following Him, we need to be chastened because we've made mistakes that He's warned us about many times over and over and over. And yet, as human beings, we still have a tendency to make those same mistakes. And He expects us to change. And He chastens us and hopes us that we learn. Hopes that we learn. I had many years ago, I took a class when I was on the department, a supervisory class. And part of it was working with nurses in the psychiatric hospital in Kansas City. And speaking to a doctor there, he told us, talking about the raising of children, he said, the children actually, they crave correction. They want love, but they crave correction. And I thought, that sounds a little odd, but I've seen through life that happening. You see it in the lives of children if they're let go to do things without the chastening. It seems to get worse. But with a little chastisement, they seem to get better. Some of the chastisements that we receive from the Lord are not the kind that are easy to take, but they make us hopefully a better Christian, stronger Christian. One that listens, that says, sing that song, I need Jesus. One that begs to have Him. One that begs to have His teachings and His love. Love is a hard thing to find in a lot of the world today. But we know that it's available to us because the scriptures right here are telling us it's available. I'd like to go on to verses 18 through 25, if I may. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth that what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. One of the things I find helpful in this passage there is that in my prayer life, I have a tendency once in a while with my mind, I'll be praying about something and something else flashes into the back of my mind. And it kind of breaks the chain of the prayer, so to speak. And I have to constantly ask, Lord, forgiveness for that and try to remember where I was when I was speaking with him. Maybe my prayer isn't deep enough, my prayer life isn't deep enough. But I find that happening. But this tells us that the Spirit also is praying for us. Praying so hard, it's praying and groaning, giving us that little bit of foundation that we need to go on with our prayer. It's giving us the knowledge through the Spirit that I'm here helping you. That it doesn't stop when you leave the baptistry. And when you pray, God's Spirit is there helping you, strengthening you, guiding you, trying to keep you on track. He does me many times. I'd like to I had a couple of verses that I put an X by that I thought were on down there a little further. One of them is verse 31. What shall we say then these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? And not only down in verse 35, it says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it was written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, but in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. There, as far as I'm concerned, that's the greatest piece of scripture that I can read to that gives me that strength, tells me that there isn't anything else. Once I'm a child of His, there's nothing else that can break that hold. Nothing else that can give us the assurance that He still is standing by our side. Whether in a prayer life that isn't quite what it should be, maybe it isn't, but I think it is a reassuring piece of scripture that gives us not just a promise, but gives us a reassurance that night, yes, I promised you that I'm going to be with you. But if you feel me with you, I'm standing beside you. I'm rubbing my shoulder to yours. I'll put on that yoke with you and get you through this. I'd like to close with a poem that I found some time ago. I think it fits here, and it's entitled His Best. God has His best things for the few who dare to stand the test. God has His second choice for those who will not take His best. And others make the highest choice, but when by trials pressed, they shrink, they yield, they shun the cross, and so they lose His best. I want in this short life of mine as much as can be pressed. Of service true for God and man, help me to be thy best. I want among the victor's throng to have my name confessed and hear the master say at last, well done, you did your best.